The good shepherd up there, right? He's the shepherd, and what do we think of sheep? They're pretty stupid, aren't they? Stupid animals. And you know, during that whole COVID thing, that we didn't like the idea of, we called ourselves sheeple, right? We're not sheep. We're not going to listen to, we don't want a shot or this or that. And I'm not here to criticize whether you want one or not. I got them because I hang out with so many people who may be susceptible to the COVID thing. So I got them. I take drugs, you know what I mean? Prescription drugs. You know, the blood pressure one and the statin one, which may or may not work. We're not even sure. But the doctor said take it. What's in it? Couldn't tell you. You know, blood pressure, no idea what's in that. I take my favorite pill is vitamin B12 because it's cherry flavored. The D3 has no flavors. You know, as kids, Flintstone vitamins were great. Remember how we would just eat them by the handful, you know? And the fluoride down at the dentist, Dr. Leatherwood would put that cherry bubble gum, you'd suck it down and just eat the fluoride. Anybody remember that? And you'd say, hey, you want nitrous oxide? Yes, I do. I'm in sixth grade. I'm getting high. And then I go back to class up at Cherry Hill. It was great. It was fun in the 70s. The point is, you know, I don't know a lot of things. I don't know what I put in my, I don't know if that's real gasoline I'm putting in my car. It seems to work. I take a lot of faith. So as sheep, you know, we don't like to be told what to do. And yet we still need it, don't we? We remember Job, and Job didn't understand what was happening to him. And what he said was, I can't wait till I get to see God face to face, and I'm going to tell him what I think's happening. And then he sees God face to face, and what's he say? Not a darn thing, does he? He doesn't say a thing. He just sits there and shuts up because God says, you listen. Where were you the day that I created the earth? Where were you the day that I put constellations in the sky? Where were you? Can you do that? You can't do that. When I set up stone doors to separate the sea from the land, where were you? And Job just sits there quietly, knowing one thing that we all should know is he's God and we are not. And so we see Jesus, and if you were just to take chapter 10 of John, just open up and start reading it, we see Jesus saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the gate. No one comes to the Father except through me and all this. And how do we get there? You see, when you read the book of John, it's an amazing book. And, you know, it starts off there in chapter 1 with, it's sort of like Genesis, right? Saying Jesus says, I was always here in the beginning. I've always been here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And I've been with the Father ever since the beginning, just like Genesis. And then he moves on. You know, he has dinner. He goes to that wedding, and he saves those reckless kids' marriage, right, by giving enough wine. And then he sits there with the meeting with Nicodemus in the night. He says, God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, and it's me. And Nicodemus is confused, but he still kind of follows him. And we see this journey. Then he goes up to Samaria, right? He goes to the woman at the well there in chapter 4. And so he's just, this is like this journey. He never stops moving in the book of John. And so we see in the book of, in chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples are headed back to Jerusalem because it's a festival. God says, have a party, and you should party, right? He said you should come for the Passover, right? You should come for the festival of weeks, of the first fruits, and you should come for the festival of the tabernacles. Remember the time when you were in the desert for 40 years and you lived in tents. Remember that. And they also had another celebration that they came to. In John chapter 10, who knows what celebration they were coming to? They were coming to Hanukkah. You know, that's in the Bible. Hanukkah's in the Bible. You know the story about the Maccabees, right? When the Seleucid dynasty had come in and taken over the temple. And so then they were having sacrifices in the temple. And the place was unclean. And Judas Maccabeus, you know, they refused to eat pork. And the Roman soldiers and the Greek soldiers would come and say, would you just say that you ate the pork? Because otherwise I'm going to have to kill you right here now, Bob. And they said, no, you're going to have to kill me. And they wouldn't even fight on the Sabbath. When they were captured, where there was a battle, Saturday would come, they'd stop fighting and they'd get slaughtered because they believed in Judaism. They were Orthodox. And so finally, Judas Maccabeus went in, drove out the Seleucids. And therefore, they rededicated the temple. They cleaned it, got all the pig's blood out of there. And there was the candle, right? They want to light the candle up there, and there's not enough oil, only for one day. And as you know, it lasts 8 days, and we call that the Festival of Lights, the festival of the dedication of the temple again. God's people worshiping God in their temple. And it's a great holiday. And we still celebrate today. It's usually just a week or so before Christmas. But we ignore it as Christians, right? But it's Jesus went, right? He went to celebrate it. So we can't ignore it. So there he is. He's going back to Jerusalem, and he's with his disciples, and they're walking along the road. And once again, we saw that a couple weeks ago in Jericho, there was a beggar by the side of the road named Bartimaeus, right? And Jesus heals him. And here they see another beggar by the side of the road. It's a man born blind. And you know what the disciples ask Jesus? They say, is this man born blind because of his sin or his parents' sin? See, if you had an infirmity or some sort of malady, it was because of the sin in your life. People could see your sin. If you were blind, deaf, mute, lame, your life was full of sin. And of course, Jesus says no. What does he say? Like he always does. He doesn't say yes or no, does he? He says neither. This man was born blind so that God's glory can be revealed in his life. How do you like that one? I can't run anymore, Chuck. Why can't I run anymore? There's got to be something else for me now, right? Because when I ran, I did it for me. It started to become my idol. I started to be full of myself because look what I can do. I can run 13 miles. Anybody run 13 miles in here? It's not easy. And I couldn't do it. It took a long time to get to it. So I finally got to it, and I was quite proud of myself, and it was sort of my idol. Look at me. I'm actually kind of skinny. The pants fit nice, you know? And then it's taken away. Why? Because of my sin? Why'd my back go? You know? I can't lift 29-pound Michael up. It's really hard. I got to use my leg. He's a cat. He's like 27. He might be 30. We don't know. At this point, we're too embarrassed to get him on the scale. Because to weigh a cat, you got to weigh yourself. And I don't want to be weighed. So I got to get on the scale, weigh me, hold the cat, subtract. Yeah, he weighs 72 pounds. I'm 200. I can't pick up Michael. The back goes. He's got to jump on the bed himself. And so the disciples ask, why is this man blind? His sin or his parents? And Jesus says, it's for God's glory. Oh, that one touches you, doesn't it? We saw a missionary once. He was born with no arms and no arms. George, remember down there at the youth rally? George played guitar. He has no arms. He put the foot up. He played with Goo Goo Dolls. You guys know the Goo Goo Dolls? That song name. What's that? You can start singing. What's the song? You know. The Goo Goo Dolls. They did the soundtrack for Treasure Planet. You remember that one? That was pretty good. And so he could drive a car, and he had children. He had a full life. He brushed his teeth with that dirty foot. And he said that's it was his life verse. Why was he born this way? Why would someone be born without arms? It's so God's glory can be revealed. And we heard him speak, and he spoke to 5,000 kids, and they were amazed at him, and they hung out with him, and he could play that guitar with that foot. Amazing. Why was he born that way? For God's glory. And so Jesus spits in the ground and puts some mud in his face, in his eyes, and says, go wash. And he comes back, and he can see. So where does he go? He goes to see his parents, right? He's excited. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. I can see. Well, let's go to the temple now and worship together. And they go to the temple, and everybody sees that's the man. He can see now. And the Pharisees are like, well, who did this? He said, well, this guy Jesus did it. He healed me. Well, how did he heal you? I don't know. Well, how do you know it was him? He said, was this man a sinner or not? And what does he say? I don't know if he's a sinner. But oh, I do know one thing I can see. What do you think of that? Well, we don't get it. How can he be a sinner and heal you? And they're very confused. And so they said, you have to deny this man as he must be God, right? And so they said, well, you have to deny him or we're going to kick you out of church. He said, I can't deny him. He healed me. And so they kicked him out of church, didn't they? But Jesus comes and talks with the young man and says, listen, these people, you were blind, but now you see and you believe because the man accepts Jesus as the Messiah. But the Pharisees over there are overhearing Jesus. They hear what the man's saying. He says, you're calling us blind? And this is a problem we have today. We see what Jesus has done and who he is. Do we still believe in him? If not, we're blind. And Jesus moves on here to chapter 10 so everyone can hear him. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Sometimes when people say to you, I'm telling you the truth, which means this time I'm telling you the truth. The last time we had a conversation, I was lying to you. But listen, can I be honest with you? Weren't you honest last time? Always honest. I try to keep that out of there. Truly I say to you, Jesus says here in chapter 10 of John, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is a cute little analogy, isn't it? We see a pen. Back in those days, the sheep pen would be a gathering of rocks and a gate in front of it. And every night the sheep would run into it for safety, right? And then they would close the gate. And who would call them out? Who would they listen to? And we know when people come to my house, people don't know I have any cats. If you were to show up, they say, how many cats do you have? I heard you had them. I said, because you won't see them, because they don't like you. And they will hide from you. But I can call them, and they will come. A coach of my daughter's didn't believe the cats would come when you call them. And my daughter said, they do. They come when I call them. And he goes, get a video of it, and I'll buy everyone smoothies. He owned a gym over there on Route 40. Well, sure enough, she calls them, and she videotapes, and there they come running to her. They know her voice. As you know, I have 18 ducks out in the yard, and when I call them, they come. Because they know they're going to get fed, but they come anyway. Especially when I do a high-pitched voice, who wants a watermelon? And I take them a watermelon and I smash it and they tear it up. They love it. Or the mealworms. I'm embarrassed to say this, but mealworms, 10 pounds, cost $60. And Amazon keeps a track of how many you bought. And I went to buy more and I bought 13 boxes. That's like $800 of worms. It's been over a period of time. It wasn't last week, but pets cost you some money. Kids cost you more, right? Pets are cheaper. They're not that much cheaper, are they? I was talking with Connie over there, and I got 240 pounds of cat litter in my basement. You see, you're walking through Costco, and people are like, how many cats you got? Like, none of your business. They ducks, they hear my call, and they come running to me because they know me. Jesus says this is him. Anyone who tries to get in the pen, jumps over, sneaks in, is a thief, a robber, a false prophet. A stranger they won't follow, but they'll flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is a figure of speech that Jesus was trying to use with them, an analogy, but they didn't quite understand what he's saying. So once again, Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth. I say to you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go out, and he will find, what does it say in Psalm 23? He will find green pastures to lie down in and cool still waters. What does a thief come to do? To steal and kill and destroy. It's the lies of the world. Jesus says, I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. We think Jesus is a good time killer, right? Especially when you go to college. When I went to Wired, it was quite fun. But we thought we didn't have Jesus in our life in college. There were some of those weird kids in the FCA, you know, but we didn't have Jesus. We thought it would be a damper. And boy, were we wrong. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. We saw that in the garden. The wolf came and the sheep were weak and they ran, didn't they? They abandoned Jesus. Jesus says again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep, Jesus said, and they're not of this fold, he says. They're not just the Jews. He says, I must bring them also because they will hear my voice. And that's us people. He's talking about the Gentiles. He says, there will be one flock and I will be one shepherd. All the world under one shepherd. And it was Jesus. And for this reason, he says, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Jesus says in verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. And this charge I have received from my Father. The first day of Lent, what did we talk about? I'm going to beat this one over your head, right? Jesus went away. He took his disciples, and he went away to get away from things, to make that decision. He went away because everyone knows him wherever he was. So he went up there to Caesarea Philippi to get some time with the disciples and ask him and to make that decision. What's he going to do? He could have kept traveling north, couldn't he, and gotten away from all this. But with the disciples, who am I? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. He says, you're right. I am. And you know what we're going to do? We're not running. We're not going north. We're not going to the east. We're going south, and we're going to Jerusalem. And there they're going to kill me. But Jesus is not a victim of these people, is he? He's not a victim of the Romans. He's not a victim of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He chooses to do this. He's not a victim. He chooses to lay down his life because he says, I can pick it back up. I choose to do so. Again, there was a division among the Jews. Surprise, surprise, people, right? On this side and that side. He either is who he says he is or he's a blasphemer. And some of them said he's got a demon and he's crazy. So why should we listen to him? Others said, well, he just opened the eyes of the blind. Remember chapter 9? Which is he? We saw that in Luke chapter 5, right? He heals the man on the mat. So forgive sins, he's either, which is he? He's either the Savior or he's a blasphemer. But he did it. Can the demon heal the blind? Verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place. He's there. It's Hanukkah. It's time they're lighting the candles. They're spinning dreidels, right? They're eating brisket. The Jews got to figure it out. Gold coins and brisket, you know? What a gift, huh? No vegetables needed. Just the brisket and gold. It's wintertime, and Jesus is walking in the temple. He's in the colonnade of Solomon. You got to love what the details, right? John actually tells where he was. The colonnade of Solomon is the outer ring. There was a porch around it. So for bad weather, everyone likes to get under the porch, right, and hang out. They found these columns because when the Romans destroyed it in A.D. 70, when General Titus came down from Rome, they took the columns and they threw them down over the wall. And when they excavated it, they found them there along the Wailing Wall where the Jews go today to worship and to put the little prayers into the stones. And you can watch it. There's a cam, 24-hour cam, the Wailing Wall. You can look and see people there. And when Steve Bash was there, he got in front of the camera because everyone knew where he was going to be at the time. I didn't see it, but someone said, yep, there Steve was on the cam. So he's walking along in the temple, and he's talking to people, right? And so the Jews are gathered around, and they're saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, if you're the Messiah, if you're the anointed one, just tell us plainly. He's been pretty plain about it, hasn't he? Say it different to make us believe. And then no matter what he does, they won't believe. Because talk is cheap, and what we really need is an act, don't we? We don't believe until he went to the cross and when he was resurrected. But just tell us. He goes, I've already told you. And you don't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witnesses. Didn't you see me feed the 5,000? Feed the 4,000? Didn't you see me? I healed Bartimaeus. I healed the lame guy. I healed the woman of bleeding. I raised a couple dead people. Don't you believe me? No, not yet. You don't believe me because you're not part of my flock. The sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. When the DCOM asked me, that's that human resource board that in the United Methodist Church we have to go sit in front of every year, and they said, how do you know you're saved? Because I've called on the name of Jesus, and what does Jesus say right there? No one's going to snatch me out of his hand. No one. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Who's going with me? Who's going first? Jim? Jim's got his hand up. I'll be right behind you. All right? Don't know. Or I might be there in front of you. I don't know. Who cares? But we're going to be there. Can anyone take it away from you? No. No. So what as he's saying that, what are the Jews doing? Jesus is saying, no one can snatch my people, my sheep, out of my Father's hands. And they're bending over. Uh-huh, that's nice. They're gathering stones. Yeah, keep talking. And they're gathering more. They're going to throw stones at him. They're getting ready. Because he's saying that he is God, and they consider that to be blasphemy, even though he's shown them with those miracles that he is. Well, Jesus goes then and quotes the Bible again, like he always does. When anyone doubts him, there he quotes Psalm number 84, verse 6. You can fact check me, Lisa? No. 86, verse 4. 84, verse 6. He says, didn't the Lord say to us, you're gods. You're gods. But you're still going to die like men, he says. So he says, we're gods. And the scripture cannot be broken, right? What's your scripture say? And they don't believe their own scripture, do they? They just don't like this guy. He's facing them. He's holding up a mirror, isn't he? And they got to look into it. And what do you see? Who spends a lot of time in the mirror? I don't. I look, Bob, it's the same thing every day. I go quick. I pick off the weird hairs, you know, and the flaky skin. I go, ugh, and go on about my day. It's like that Our Town. Anyone like the Our Town? That play? And the girl says, Mom, am I pretty? And you know what your mother says? You're pretty enough. I look at myself, I don't scare kids. No one cries when I see them. I'm all right. Ain't real pretty. They pick up stones again, and they want to stone him. They said, you're blaspheming, because you said you are the Son of God. And he says, if I'm not doing the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do them, you see, you've seen them yourself. Seeing is believing, but they still don't believe. Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He just walked away. It's not his time. They can't hurt him. It's not his time to give himself up. He will determine that day and the time. It's his by his authority. And what's he do here? We know that he goes away into the desert. He's kind of hiding out because things are really heating in Jerusalem. It's not the time. It's winter. It's not the spring. So he spends 3 months out there in the Jordan area where John was baptizing. And many came to him there. And the story kind of ends there. But you know, all this talk of shepherds, you know, this story is not about the sheep. It kind of reflects on what the shepherd's like. You know, Ezekiel 34, that's a book I told you all to read the other day. Ezekiel 37, did you go home and read it? No. Did anyone? I gave you homework. Did you read it? That's okay. Ezekiel 34 says, Ezekiel 37 is about that valley of dry bones. Remember that God says, I'll bring them back to life. I'll breathe on them. But 34, it's a condemnation of the shepherds, you see. The Pharisees are supposed to be shepherds, and the teachers of the law and the Sadducees are supposed to lead the people to God, but they're not. They're legalistic, and what's more important is the setup of the temple and that they're making money from it. And they have a marketplace in the middle and the slaughtering of 225,000 sheep every Passover, and the blood runs down to the trough. And no one's really understanding it. And it's the shepherds that are leading them wrong. And this is where it's something, this is the verse that speaks to me. Ezekiel says here in chapter 34, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, prophesize against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesize and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds. You clothe yourselves with the wool and you slaughter the choice animals. But you don't take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled harshly and brutally. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they scattered, they became food for the wild animals. My sheep, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. And they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched and no one looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for the flock, but cared for themselves rather than the flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. And I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. This is what the Lord says. I will search for the sheep, and I will look after them. As a shepherd looks after the flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep, and I will rescue them from the places where they were scattered. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Is it not good enough for you to feed on good pasture, but you must also trample the rest of the pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink water, but you must muddy the water with your feet? You see, it goes on. You see where this is going, don't you? Jesus is the good shepherd, and for too long there were bad shepherds, leading the people astray, all those bad kings, Zedekiah, Hezekiah, all those kings from Kings and Chronicles, Eli and his sons taking the choicest meats from the temple, not taking the boiled meat because they didn't want it boiled. That's what God said you get to eat. They wanted to take the raw, the best part, so they could roast them instead, sleeping with the women from the temple. This is where us pastors got to look to ourselves. And we've seen these people before, haven't we? We've seen bad shepherds. And they come and the sheep are scattered. Do they go looking for them? Do they go to their homes? Now, I'm not condemning one person or any. I'm not naming names. But we know that people have turned, don't do what God wants. And God says, follow me. I'm the only shepherd you're going to need. Hear my voice. Boy, that's good to hear, isn't it? It's okay that we were lost. And no one came looking for us, but Jesus says, I will come looking for you. I will send someone. I will send my son. One thing I'm proud about in this church is we're a Bible-believing church. We read this thing, don't we? Not as enough as we should. Ezekiel 37 tonight, all right? Or anything. Read something every day. It'll change your life. You'll start to believe it. Whose voice are we listening to? I hope you're not listening to mine. I hope you're listening to his. His words right here. He's the good shepherd. His yoke is light. Follow him. Seek him. Read the Bible tonight. Get to know. Develop that relationship even more. Give yourself to him. He gives everything for you. He's not a victim. He willingly did what he did for us. Pretty cool stuff, isn't it? This is where we are. This is going to change the world, Jim. This is where peace in the Ukraine comes, when everyone lays down their arms and beats them into plowshares. What can that country do when it's at peace? Feeds the world, doesn't it? They feed. Ukraine brings so much. It's a big farming. But you ever see the size of that country? It's huge. And it's temperate. It's very warm, so they produce a lot of food. And a lot of those places that donate food, they say, you know what we're going to do since this war in Ukraine is we're going to take from the kids who are just a little bit hungry and give it to the kids that are starving. We've got to make a choice. Who gets food? The more hungry ones do. I haven't been hungry a day in my life. I know I've got it good. That's a terrible choice. But if we follow the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd, Not the one jumping over a fence. Those are the robbers and those are the thieves. It's time to go. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that your words are heard by the people, that you are the good shepherd. You're the one we need to follow. Sheep are not dumb. We make a decision. We know it's you. We hear the lies of the world, and they never ring true. They tickle our fancies, and we say, this is fun, or that's fun, and this is what we should do. But no, it leads us to ruin and destruction. Father, I pray that this church continues to follow you and your Son. And we pray that your Holy Spirit comes around this flock and gathers us up in your arms to show us all the love, mercy, and compassion that we don't deserve, but falls upon us anyway because of your Son, giving himself, going to the cross, allowing himself to be put to death, but he takes back up his life by his authority, and he lives. And because he lives, we shall live too. And nothing, this world can never snatch us out of your hands. We thank you for these words, Father. I thank you for this people that believes in you, that trusts in you, that knows your voice. And we say, amen.